for you. It is a state of being for you. We're going to go over that this morning. It's kind of funny how it's all come together. Writer's like, man, you know, I just kind of went there. And I'm like, well, Serena, I'm sure she did not know what I was going to preach on this morning. And I know Roddy didn't, because we didn't even know he was going to be here. Amen, for sure. And so you'll be blessed today. Amen. All right, first things first. We've got to do some housekeeping, right? Let's see here. Hold on. Got a couple of things to talk about. Why are spiders so smart? They can find everything on the web. They ask the Google. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Let's see. How do you know milk is the fastest liquid on earth? How do you know that that milk is the fastest liquid on earth? It's pasteurized before you even see it. Thank you very much. Yeah. Leave your tips at the door. Yeah, but well, he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. I got him this morning. I got him. Anyway, that's it. That's the only two I got. The rest of them are old. Yeah, Paul. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's a good place to be. A really good place to be. You find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul starts to get into this idea of being in Christ. And Roddy kind of touched on it a little bit before I got up here, and Serena was just talking about it, that there is a state of being for us, that we find ourselves in Christ. And we're going to talk about this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You got it up there? Charles 17, 5, 17. Therefore, if anybody, you don't have to qualify. It's anybody. It doesn't matter any of the things that we have a tendency to look at as human beings. None of that matters. All of that's gone. You qualify. If you're breathing, then this is talking about you. It is talking about you. If you take breath into your body, if you can fog a mirror, as we say in the banking world, if you can fog a mirror, then this is you, right? Anybody, if anyone, any person is what? In Christ, what happens? What happens at this point? This person becomes something brand new. Brand new. Old things, what does it say? What'd they do? Passed away. And what happens? Behold, what? Everything's become new. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. In this process, whenever you say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life, this process begins in your life, and now your state of being is in Christ. You are no longer Josh. You are no longer Miss Deborah. You are no longer Opal. You're no longer Jacob. You are now in Christ. In him I live, move, and have my being. Everything that I am is found in and by him. You are in Christ at this moment. Now, if y'all remember, if we back up just a little bit, we've been talking about being a witness, right? And we talked about the vine and the branches. Jesus said, I am the what? I'm the vine and you are the what? We're the branches, right? That's where the fruit comes out at, right? And then we looked at it when we were some trees and we were planted by the rivers of water and all that stuff happened. This right here is the process of you being put into the vine. The Amplified Bible actually says right here, therefore, if any person is engrafted into Christ, he becomes a new creation. A whole new thing altogether. Hey, Charles, will you put that up there, that picture? I don't know, I asked him to get a picture of a grafting. Is it up there? In the process of a graft, what you do is you take a branch that wasn't part of the original tree, and you put that branch on a new tree, on a new vine. See, We were lost, busted, and disgusted out there doing all the stuff we once we was in the wrong place and not producing any fruit. And what fruit we did produce wasn't real good. Right? And so what happened here is whenever you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God decided and said, hey, you know what? I am now going to engraft you into the vine. So looking at the picture, I ain't even looked at it yet. Looking at the picture, what happens here is that you'll have a trunk or a vine that's strong. A tree that's strong, that's got good roots, it's got good sap in it. It's created to live and work in the environment. It's like, it's strong. It's there. Like for instance, it's solid. Who said solid? I needed that help. Thank you, Angel. Solid. Solid, like the cornerstone. In fact, the Bible says that he is the first cornerstone. Jesus is the first cornerstone. That's pretty solid, right? Y'all know what the cornerstone is? All right, cool. So what you do is you take this solid trunk. And what needs to happen is for the branch to make its way into the vine or into the trunk has to be cut. It has to be cut. And the cut on the trunk has to match the cut that was made on the branch. Okay? So the branch is already cut or wounded. It's already marked up and marred. What the horticulturalist will do is he will take a knife and cut the vine to match the branch. And if you remember, he was wounded for our transgressions, right? He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are what? We are healed. So in that process of the cross, God was actually making the cut in Jesus to prepare him to receive you. He prepared him to receive you and to have you engrafted or put into him. After this tree, after this trunk is cut, and it's made cut in a way that the branch will attach to it, the gardener, the vine dresser, y'all remember, he said, my father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser will put that branch into the trunk and slide it. He will actually insert it and make the two one. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, he who is joined with Christ is one spirit with him. At that point, you don't know what kind of tree you really got anymore, Miss Dorothy. Because you had two different trees and you put them together. And now you got a whole new creation that never before existed. You got something brand new. You got something that's done lost its name and what it used to be and how it used to be. That's the reason why, if we go back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would. Charles, take me back there. That's the reason why he said old things have passed away, because everything you used to be, who you used to be, how you used to walk, how you used to act, all of that is dead. And I've said it before, we do a funeral service up here whenever it happens. Y'all remember? We baptize them, baptized in water. That is a funeral service. That is showing that the old man has passed away, and behold, everything has become new. Everything's been made new. Why? Because the vine dresser made a cut in the vine to match the cut that was in you, and he's now put you together, and what you used to be, you ain't no more. And you can't have nobody tell you that you ain't that no more. You can't have nobody, like I said, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says that he who is joined with Christ is one spirit with him, like peanut butter and jelly. When you mix peanut butter and jelly together, you can't get them separated. When you put sugar in iced tea, can you get the sugar out? When you put Kool-Aid in water, how you get that out? You can't, because now it's become something new. It's something that never before existed. They cannot be separated. And a lot of people try to say, well, you know, I just feel so far from God. I mean, you know, I just feel like me and the Lord are just so far. No. The Bible says that he sticks closer than a brother. But he's even closer than that. He is in you, and you are in him. And now what's flowing in you is flowing in him, is flowing in you, is flowing in him. You are one with the creator of the universe. And everywhere your foot goes, his foot goes. Right, he even said it whenever he said it. He said it. Look, God didn't get here until you showed up. Jesus didn't walk in until you walked in. Why is that? Because you're the branch attached to the vine. And now when you go, he goes. When you touch, he touch. When you hug, he hugs. When you speak, what's happening? He's speaking. So therefore, any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, everything has become new in our lives. Let's go to the next one. Now, all things are what? Of God, who has done what? He has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I love this because he says reconciled. I like it because I'm a banker and I enjoy the process of reconciliation. It is a great thing. Does anybody else reconcile a checkbook in here? Yes, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. See, it's what I thought. Not a whole lot of reconciliation going on here. Y'all don't know what's in your checkbook. You ain't got no idea, do you? Don't know. It's all online now. There you go, Paul. To reconcile something means to make it match, to put it together, to reconcile it down to a matching base. You have been reconciled with God. With God. You are reconciled. He don't owe you nothing, and you don't owe him nothing. Did y'all get that? He don't owe you nothing, and you don't owe him. You've been reconciled with him. Now all things are of him. You're a new creation found in Christ. He don't owe you nothing. Roddy said it. He ain't going to do another. He ain't. What'd you say, Roddy? You said something about that earlier. You said a lot. You said something like that, didn't you? Man, are y'all following me here? You've been reconciled to him. I'm going to pick on him now. He used to say this all the time, that his daddy would say, and I'm thinking about now, I'm thinking about all your services. His daddy would say, boy, good Lord going to get you. Remember how you said it? No, he ain't going to come get you. God is not mad at you. He is reconciled to you. He don't care. He ain't looking at what you just done did. He sees it all under the blood of Jesus. You are now just as much in Jesus as Jesus is in you. God's not holding anything against you. He's not waiting for you to mess up again, and he ain't got no big hammer ready to hit you upside the head. It ain't gonna happen. He's not looking at that. Just as far as the east is from the west, so has he delivered your sins from you. He threw them into the sea of forgetfulness. He's like, what? Why ain't you doing something? Well, Lord, I just don't feel worthy. Why not? You in Jesus. I engrafted you into him. You're not even who you used to be anymore. Now you're a little Jesus running around. When I look at you, all I see is blood. Where you at? You make sense? He's given and has given. Not only has he reconciled us to himself, but he has made each and every one of us a minister on this earth to tell everybody else, hey, you've been reconciled. You could be zeroed out with God today. You could do it today. All you got to do is accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When you accept him, you're going to be engrafted in just like me. You see, just like what happened to me can happen to you. It's called a testimony. That testimony is the telling of the grafting process that we went through whenever he engrafted us and took all that mess off of us and made us brand new. And we talk about our grafting process. And has given you the right to have a ministry. Everybody I know want to be a full-time ministry. I want to be full-time ministry. You are. Every day. We are all in full-time ministry every day. Now, if you want a job at the church, turn in an application. That's a different process altogether. You're looking for a job where you get a paycheck. No, I'm talking about true ministry, 100% ministry that ain't got money. It ain't got nothing to do with money. Got everything to do with telling people that they could be zeroed out with God. There's so many folks out there, they're hurting because they think God's mad. They're hurting because they think that God is going to be upset with what they've done. They're hurting because they think that they've got to work for something that's already been provided freely by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why they ain't here. They're not here because they think they owe him something. No, we've been reconciled through, in, and by him. Somebody ought to balance a checkbook somewhere. Y'all know what I was talking about. Those of us that balance, we know what it means to be zeroed out. You zeroed out, it's done. You can't do nothing else. You can't do nothing else. It's been reckoned, paid, in full, done, zeroed, nothing, nada. Next one, verse 19, what does it say? That is, that God was in Christ. What was he doing? He was reconciling who? The world. Not even just you. Not church folks. Not good little acting right world. The whole world has been reconciled to him. They just don't know it. They don't have a clue. They need somebody to tell them. That's why he's given us this ministry of reconciliation, because they got to have somebody to tell them. They don't know, Lisa. Reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us that word of reconciliation. You can actually walk up to somebody and say, hey, you know what? God loves you 1,000% right now. Whatever state they're in, it doesn't matter. God loves them 1,000% right now. He has reconciled himself to them right now. The way that you explain this thing to him is simple. He ain't got no problem with you at all because he put it all up on Jesus. All he's asking now is, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with that? Because Jesus is the pen that brings the reconciliation to pass. Ah, Lord. Amen. Let's keep going. Ha ha. Now then, what are we? We're ambassadors for Christ, man. I used to be an ambassador, the royal ambassadors at the First Baptist Church a long time ago. Went there a couple times. Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. That's it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God. Why is it the power of God? Because it's God's love manifesting in a simple word that says you are reconciled to God. He ain't got no problem with you today. Have you ever said that to anybody? Anybody in here ever said that? God ain't got no problem with you today. I have. You know what happens? They look at you like you've got four heads and 12 eyes. What are you talking about? God ain't got no problem with me today. You don't know what I just did. Don't matter. He don't have a problem with you today, church. He ain't got a problem with them today. He ain't got a problem with nobody today. He is reconciled. That's why the Bible says that he who sits in the heavens laughs. It's done as far as he's concerned. He's sitting in glory going, ha! And why is he doing this? Because it's all been reconciled. There ain't nothing happier for a CPA to go to zero. You put a CPA to zero, they get excited. Pumped up, isn't that right? I'd like to see that zero out there. Yeah, everything's zeroed out. And it's the same thing with God. He's pumped because everybody got away now. Everybody can get in there now. It's not an exclusive club. It's not like only a few people could come and show up. Everybody can be reconciled and has been reconciled to. Everybody can come to the party. Everybody's invited. There's a party going on right now, and everybody is invited. Amen? We're pleading, God was pleading through us. See, even God uses us to talk to people. He is pleading through us. When we open our mouths, that is God saying, come on. When you begin to minister and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, that's God going, come on. I'm ready. To implore means to ask aggressively. Like if you want somebody to go with you, what do you say? Come on. Come on. What's wrong with you? Come on. You ever done that one? What's wrong? Come on. Let's go. Come on. What's the matter? That's the way God is right now through you. Anyway, let's move on. Get to where I wanted to land. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Big, big, big scripture right here. You ought to know this one. This ought to be on Mamaw's wall. And it's not. But this ought to be on Mamaw's wall. For he, talking about God, made him, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. You are, right now, how many of y'all been saved? We won't ask it at the end and heads bows and eyes closed. You saved? Born again, you're going to heaven when you die. Yep, is that y'all? Guess what? That means that you are now made righteous. Are 1,000% righteous. And I didn't get one amen on that one. It was in there, yeah. Yeah, y'all wasted them all on Roddy. That's right. He did. He begged for them, didn't he? He's like, come on now. Got to beg them to say an amen up in here, boy. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ. Not righteousness of you in your actions. Did y'all get that one? Not the righteousness of you in your actions and what you've done. No, the righteousness of God. Jehovah's righteousness is what you are. And you are in that by the acts and the works of Jesus Christ. It ain't got nothing to do with you. You didn't do the work. You didn't do the saving. All you do is just believe it to be true. Are y'all getting that? This word right here, righteous, I got to say it. I got to say it, righteousness. I might have to look at it. Righteousness. Can't say the Greek word. I can't say it. Huh? It's all right? I can't say it. It's spelt weird, and it's pronounced even weirder, okay? It means equity of character or act. Equity. You hear about equity on the news all the time. Equity. It's found in Jesus. Quit looking for it in somebody that you vote for. It's found in Jesus. That's where it is. Lord, I get on that, but Roddy's here and he's visiting, and I don't want him to talk ugly about me later. Anyway, it means equity of character or act. The Thayer's has a concordance. Strong's had a concordance. His is equity. Thayer's, which is some dude with the last name Thayer's, he wrote a concordance. It uses the term in a broad sense. It says the state of him who is as he ought to be. You are now made by God through Jesus Christ. You are made to be as you ought to be. He has put you in the place where you originally were intended to be. Whenever he sent Adam, whenever Adam was made, he didn't make Adam to fall. He made Adam to rule and reign on this earth. Adam didn't do a great job. Jesus came as the second Adam, did a better job, and now through him, through his death, burial, and resurrection, you are righteous, which means that you are as you ought to be in the sight of God. You are as you ought to be, which goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The Garden of Eden is not a place on the earth anymore. It's in you. That's where it is. The Garden of Eden is found in you. That's where paradise is. Paradise is in you. That place that we're all looking, it's in you. Because you have now been made as you ought to be. Changes everything. It changes everything. Now, what's stopping us from being a witness in this world? If we are now made... Who's saved? Can I see the hands again? Going to heaven when you die. So this is talking about you. You are now made as you ought to be in God through Jesus. What's next? What's next? The next step that we find out, what's next? Y'all remember last week? What was last week? What did I say? What was that song we sang, Serena? I wouldn't shut up about it. Yeah, did you seek him? Did he hear you? And did he answer? You saved? You going to heaven when you die? Yeah. So you now have been made as you ought to be by God in Jesus? What's next? The next step is doing the ministry of reconciliation. The next step is telling somebody and testifying of the goodness of God and what Jesus has done. The next step is not trying to make people feel bad because they didn't come to church this morning. That's not the next step. The next step is going out there and spreading God's love. The next step is stepping over into our testimony and allowing people to hear what we've got to say about being made as we ought to be in Christ with God's hand. God's hand did it. He reconciled me to himself. I'm good. You want to be good too? You get there. Let's pray a quick prayer. It's really cool. You'll be changed forever. A mansion will be built in heaven in your honor, in your name. The angels are having a freaking party right now waiting on us to get there. You ready? You ready? You want to do it? It's that simple. You ain't got to say, well, here's a track. I want you to read through it. Read through the little book right here and do it. No, no, no. God reconciled himself to you. He's good with you. Let's talk about Jesus. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Just smile, Lisa. That's all we got to do is smile. And you can do it at work. Who going to work tomorrow? You can do it there. Wait. Did anybody cabbage patch last week? That was y'all's homework. Did we cabbage patch? Where y'all at? I got three cabbage. Nobody else cabbage patched? All right. So for those of you that didn't do your homework last week, your homework this week is twofold, okay? First of all, you're supposed to cabbage patch by yourself in the presence of God. Just dance. Just be happy. It ain't got to be all sad and busted and disgusted. Just cabbage patch with him. God knows how to dance, I promise you. I mean, I just can't wait till we get to heaven. I know when we get to heaven, and everybody going to get real quiet. And one of them angels with like six heads and five eyes and all that weird stuff and on them wings, they're going to stand up and say, hey, the Father fitting to sing and dance. Y'all sit down. Yeah, that's it. Golly. She got to bring the saints in here. I'm trying to preach and she want to do football right now. Hey, baby, I'm talking about God singing and dancing and you want to talk about the saints. Ah, you just had to bring it up, didn't you? That's all right. Them Cowboys looking sad. Woo! Man, they need Jesus. Yeah, you need to drive to Dallas and do the ministry of reconciliation there. They need some help. Me too. But can't y'all see it? God get up out of his throne and just do the cabbage patch and sing something. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching. Yeah, with them lions, that's right. Y'all with me though? That's the first little homework that we didn't do, that we need to do. Second homework. Brookshire's, Walmart, work, whatever. When you walk in, smile. Smile. That's all you got to do. Smile at people. Make eye contact and smile. Now, if you're feeling real froggy, ask them, say, how you doing? If you're feeling real froggy, how you doing? If a conversation strikes up, I triple dog dare you to talk about how good God is. How good God is. And don't get cliche, oh, God is good all the time and all the time. Don't do all that. Don't do all that. No. God's good. He's good to me. He's good to you. He's good to all of us. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? Roddy and I went to lunch yesterday. Is that yesterday? No. Friday. We went to Friday. We went to Friday lunch. Posadas. We roll up in Posadas. There was a lady that helped us get our table. She was real sweet. Rashonda was her name, wasn't it? Absolutely. Yeah, Rashonda. Anyway, Miss Rashonda was real kind to us, and we were on our way out, and I just felt impulse to pray with her. So I just grabbed her, and I started praying, and I prayed in Jesus' name, and Roddy goes, "Do you know him? You know him, Miss Rashonda? You know who he is?" She goes, "Oh, yeah, I know Jesus." He said, "Good. Just got to make sure you know who you're talking to." I thought that was good. I don't know what it did for her. God had a word for her. We gave her a little bit of that word. He had something to say. Just being nice, just smiling, having a good day, it makes a difference. So what's our homework? First thing, cabbage patch. Everybody knows how to cabbage patch, right? You kind of move your arms in a circle like this, and you turn. All right? Just like that. Y'all get that? That's called the cabbage patch. It used to be a dance back in the day that we did a lot of. Okay? Yeah, you did it too, didn't you? Cabbage patch, just you and God. You gotta get with God, you cabbage patch, shower, you know, something. Get up there, dance before the Lord. I dare you, triple dog dare you. Then, second part of homework, tomorrow at Walmart, Brookshire's, work, any place away from the house where there's people you don't know, smile. Well, we know people at work, so we smile there too. And at the house. You're right, Tom. We probably should smile at the house. But I want y'all at your comfort zone. Go, you know, do it someplace. Smile. If you don't smile at the house, smile at the house. Okay? If you're not smiling at home, let's start there. Hi. Good morning. Yeah, what'd you do now? That's right. Y'all with me? That's our homework. Let's all stand. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I done kept y'all late. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you need to go home, you can go. You are dismissed if you need to go home. Joseph, can you come up here and play for a second? Thank you, Lord. Like, I'm serious. If you got to go, roll. It is not a problem. Hallelujah. You've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We should run from fear as if it were the plague. We should run from fear as if it were COVID. You ought to have a fear mask on all the time. Fear is not your friend. Fear is not anything that you should deal with. Fear is something you should run from and get away from. Fear will affect your faith. It'll affect your joy. It'll affect your walk with God. It will affect everything in your life. Fear is rooted and grounded in worry and anxiety because there's uncertainty of what God is or is not doing for you. Fear is an enemy. And we've not been given that spirit, but a power, love, and a sound mind. There's been a spirit of oppression, fear, anxiety on you. Now's your time. Let's get released from that. Come on up. We'll pray for you. I feel led in that area. Any anxiety, fear, worry, stress, anything like that, we'll pray for you, and God will release that from you and drive that thing out of you.